thank you. Thank you that we are one. And we enter into the morphogenic field, the quantum field of oneness, where we can even speak to each other beyond words.
Mm.
Words are just a fraction of what we're going to communicate. Jesus. That this light, this energy, this frequency. And if right now, everyone on the call, I just invite you to open up your heart to even hear the Lord talking to you during this call.
Mm.
Often I'm having a conversation with the Lord, even when I'm in a meeting. Because it's open, we'll all be taught by the Lord. And we can honor each other, but it's actually the Lord we're looking for through each one of us. He's the all in all. And he's moving in all.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you, Lord.
Nancy, we've got some questions for tonight, but you were just going to jump in that you said you watched the Cardionosis talk we did on Zoom.
I did. It was so fabulous. I'm telling you, Justin is one of the people that I can listen to that every single sentence he says so impacts my spirit. It's like bombarding me with truth. And so I listened to the Cardionosis teaching two or three times, and there were so many things in there that spoke to me directly, spirit to spirit. Yeah. And there were several things that I wanted to bring up. I hope we can do that during the course of this.
Let's go for it now. Cardionosis for me, I think, is one of the most important topics. You know, I love talking on it because it's how we should be sensing the world and sensing timelines, creating the right timeline, knowing what level of government someone's got, knowing whether we should read a book or not. You can feel it through cardionosis, knowing if you should go to an event. Mm-hmm. It's like an energy pattern in the universe that we can follow. And it's also a way of knowing people's hearts, not from a judgmental, nasty way, but from the perspective of where are they at right now, you know? And we need to know that, because if we're grace people, we're not afraid of seeing people sin. I'm looking for the brilliance of who they are. Yahweh's in everyone. But it does help you know what issues people have got, because you can't, you know, bring someone into a project, say, on money, and they've got money issues. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So what jumped out to you? What was the bit that you felt like you wanted to expand on?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much that it would take me several hours. But I think there were three or four points that really stuck out more than anything else. And one of those was to use our cardiognostic gifting to tap into the thoughts and the heartbeat of Yahweh himself.
Yes, come on.
When you said that's the number one thing, that just so jumped out, because even in the limitations of our earthly understanding of where people are, or when we judge by, even if we have discernment in the spirit, we can discern things about people that are really totally negative. And on one particular time, the Lord really showed me how many times we can prophesy according to the limitation of what we see, and we can be accurate. But until we tap into the heartbeat of God and see what he sees about a person, we really, really are limited in how we can change and affect a catalytic transfer of that person into becoming what God intended for them to be.
Come on.
I was in a church one time, and I was just prophesying like we used to prophesy, going from person to person. And there was this one man who was sitting in the front row that was so, so demonized. This guy, it was like he had covens of bats hanging all over him. And I literally tried to avoid going by this guy because he was like so dark. Anyway, I was veering to the other side of the church to kind of stay away from him. And finally, the Lord rebuked me, and he goes, "Would you dare to see about that man what I see instead of what you see?" And so after a while, I wandered over there. And this guy, I could tell he was alcoholic. He was a wife abuser. He was a child beater. He was a drug addict. All of these different things surrounding him. But I tapped into the heartbeat of the Father. And I touched this man and I said, "Sir, I see that you're a very, very good employee. you go to work early and you work and you labor without any recognition at all, just to be good to your boss and good for your company. And I see that you're a really amazing daddy. You take your kids camping and hiking and fishing, and you do all these beautiful things to show love for your children. You're very attentive as a husband. And I said, when you come home from work at night, you see that your wife is tired from the dealing with the kids all day. So you go up and you give them a bath while she sits and soaks her feet. And at night, you lay down in bed and you rub her feet with, and this guy falls over on the floor and he's weeping and sobbing and crying and carrying on. That's what I expected him to do whenever I had touched him. But what the Lord was releasing was his heart's desire for that young man. The next year, I guess it was maybe 2 years later, I went back to the same church again. And this wife and the best friend who were listening to me prophesy that night came up to me and said, "Lady, we know you're a false prophet. That man beats his wife. He slaps his children around all the time. He drinks like crazy. He's very abusive. He's had 16 jobs in 1 year. He can't hold down a job because he's so abusive with his mouth." And all I could do was take their hand and say, "All I can say to you is you're not going home with the same man you came here with."
Wow.
And 2 years later, I came back to the church and that woman ran up to me, threw her arms around me and goes, "Oh, you're just never going to believe what happened the last time you were here." And I said, "Well, what?" She goes, "My husband went out the very next day. He got a job. He worked and worked and worked. And he was such a faithful employee that today he's the vice president of that company. The next weekend, he took my kids camping and hiking and fishing, and he comes home at night. And the best thing is he reads the word of God to me. He prophesies over me. And when I go to bed at night, he rubs my feet with cream." And I thought to myself, if only we could see people the way you see them instead of the way that we see them. And activating our cardiognostic gift to be able to say the things that God intends for the lives of people rather than the things that we see, which are so limited, can change and rearrange the direction of a person's life completely. So cardiognostic activity in discerning the thoughts in the heartbeat of God can bring catalytic change in the lives of everyone we're speaking to.
Come on, Nancy. This is something that the Lord, you know, for that talk that I did on cardiognosis, this was something the Lord said to me, "I want you to use your cardiognosis on my heart." And I never really thought about that before. And he took me into a place that was like a waterfall. It looked like Niagara Falls, but like a circle. And I was in the middle of this circle with Yeshua, and Jesus was showing me, "These are the thoughts of Papa God." And I looked at the thoughts, and God's thoughts were like golden streams of goodness. And I saw something amazing there.
Wow.
I saw there was no darkness in him. You know, it says there's no darkness in the Lord. Yeah. I saw there was no evil in his thoughts, that his thoughts were pure and clean and beautiful. And they were cascading into the universe. And the Lord said to me, "I want people to sit in my heart, in my thoughts, and to know my thoughts, to move from the prophetic and move from visions and experiences to be in the flow of the torrents of plenty, in the torrents of love, sit inside the torrents of love and know my heart." And I saw that there'll be a company of people who will do this, and we will know God so deeply that we'll be able to speak like Jesus, you know, "I am the Father of one." We'll be able to say, "I know his thoughts towards you." That it's not guessing or knowing in part, it's knowing the richness of God's thoughts. And I think this is something I'm passionate about, Nancy, as well, for how we see the world right now. You know, this is why I'm not a negative prophet, because I've seen that love wins. So, yeah, we need to operate from a higher dimension of sitting in the realm of his thoughts. And the Lord showed me, Nancy, that this is going to get so strong with people that they'll be a group of ecclesia on the earth that literally know the Lord's thoughts. It might be on any matter at all, that they're in a flow of knowledge that's gigantic, massive, a bit like Solomon, I guess. And I believe that's open for us to know his heart. But coming back to cardiognosis, you've operated from his heart for a long time. What else did you feel on the cardiognosis talk that really jumped out for you?
Well, I love your 5 points, because I think that we can activate our cardiognostic gift, especially in changing the lives of other people, bringing about those changes, and also the impartation of light that comes out of our aura, so to speak. I hate to use the word aura because everybody says that's a new age principle, but actually you so documented the way that the light flows out of us. And actually, I think at one time you even referred to it as being the beginning of transfiguration. If we really understand the power of the ministry of touch, it can change an entire nation. This is one of many, many testimonies. But I was in a nation one time where there was a very evil, vile, wicked general. And he was actually responsible for commanding the death of 30,000 people in that nation. And the Lord spoke to me in a dream. And he said, I want you to go and lay hands on this guy, because one day he's going to be president of this nation. So anyway, I had this appointment. And actually, he called for me because I had done something with him before. But when I walked in and I sat down across from him, I looked into his eyes, and his eyes were so full of darkness, all kinds of murder and dissension and strife and just ugly, ugly stuff. And I looked into his eyes and I said, Lord, are you sure you have the right man? Because this guy looks so dark. And he said, just touch him. And in general conversation, not acting like some big prophet of God, but just in general conversation, release the light that is in you, that it can begin to displace the darkness that is in him. And so every time I would get with him, I would just touch him on the shoulder, and I would just release that light in normal everyday conversation. Mm-hmm. And as I did that, his whole countenance changed, and he became full and radiant with light. Mm-hmm. And it was obvious to many other people. Many other people would look at him and say, what is happening with this guy? Because he's gone out of darkness and into light. And I'm pleased to tell you today, he's the president of that nation. So the issue is, many times we underestimate the power that is within us. I just call it the power or the ministry of touch, because as we touch other people, the field, the electromagnetic field that we're walking in, actually moves into them through entanglement, quantum entanglement, and it begins to displace the darkness they're functioning in. Mm-hmm. I have many, many, many testimonies like that, where we can just activate the quantum field that we're walking in order to bring about internal changes in the hearts of people that are extremely dark.
That's the other thing with cardiognosis, is that it's a two-way thing. So even though we're reading people, we're also projecting. We're also projecting back, and you can actually send a field of energy, like you're saying, to transform other people. And that's cardiognosis in its most fullest form. There's a cool example of that, where Jesus saw Nathanael under the tree. And when Nathanael came up to him, he said, you are a pure Israelite. So the Lord read him. But then the guy says, you know, he says, I saw you under the tree. And the guy says, you are the Christ. And I'd always wondered, how did he know that Jesus was the Christ from one small conversation? And what the Lord showed me is that the two fields that they had went. So when Jesus spoke to him, said, you're a true Israelite, Nathanael also read Jesus's heart and read, this is the Christ, this is Mashiach. And that's what happens, interfacing. And I think that happens a lot in marriages, where there's like an interfacing, interlocking between people we love. There's just like an instant flow of knowledge that happens. And I've seen in the future, this is just going to get stronger and stronger until there'll be literally people interfacing without words. Mm-hmm. I saw in one of my ecstasies, some people huddled together and they were all communing in the spirit, in frequency, in energy, and in light. And I believe this is how we were supposed to talk before the fall, that before the fall, it was heart-to-heart knowledge. And that as Jesus restores all things, he's going to restore our, like you call it, our primordial abilities to interface. Like when we met each other for the first time, you said, I know you, you said. You said, I've always known you. We knew each other in the before.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, that I love that because the instant that I met you, I knew that I knew you before the creation, because there was such synergy and such such an exchange. What I want to call is quantum entanglement, because we were with one another before the earth was ever created. And this is actually true of all people. The problem is because of the separation that comes and the teaching of separation that comes from the spirit of religion, we've lost that level of understanding. So I tell people, whenever you meet people that you instantly connect with, I said, how many of you have met people in this conference that you've instantly connected with? And they raised their hands. And I said, you feel like you've known them forever. And the truth of the matter is, you probably have. And the reason for that is you have jointly connected scrolls. And there are things that the Lord wants you to do together in this life that he prepared you for before you ever came here. So when we look at the eternal, let's just tap into the eternal now. And when I saw you and Rachel, I was instantly connected, because I knew that the Lord had a lot of things for us to do together. So I'm very thankful for that prior knowledge.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Papa. Whoa. Hey. Yeah, Lord, thank you for that flow throughout space and time, that we're all connected. There's not an accident that we're all on this call, that we're all alive right now, that this synchronicity here.
Mm-hmm.
Our books of destiny were mathematically entangled.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
You know, one time, Nancy, the Lord took me into the library room, and I know it's just a way of showing me knowledge. It's a parable. But I was in the library room of heaven. I saw people's books, destiny books. When I opened that, I saw like the family tree for each person, but they were like holographic nodes, and I could expand them. This was before iPhones, and I could look at them and see everybody in everybody's family tree throughout space and time. Mm-hmm. I saw this incredible mystery that everybody's destiny book was mathematically choreographed in symphonic arrangement with every other person, that Yahweh had written this massive symphony, which we were all entangled in.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a verse. It was from Acts, where it says he chose where we would live and when we would live, that he slotted us into the timeline in this incredible tapestry of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it was linking to who you'd marry and friendships and all these books. And I realized in heaven, you can't think of anything as separate. When you see anything in the heavenly realms, it's all connected, it's all oneness, it's all enfolded into each other.
Mm.
And it was a very, very powerful ecstasy. And it was so strong, actually, that when I came out of it, I tried to run out of the living room to get away from these books that I was seeing. I ran into the kitchen and I could still actually physically see books, books in the cupboards and shelves. And then I came out of it. But for a few minutes, it was like the hologram was blurring into the kitchen and I couldn't get out of it. All I could do was weep from love, because I saw an incredible mystery of how much God loves us. And the love of God possessed me and wrecked me so bad that I was weeping and weeping. And it was something else. You know, one thing I love about you, Nancy, is that you've always walked in God's love. And I say this to Rachel often. I've never heard you criticize anyone.
Yeah.
I've never heard you speak badly of anyone. And you keep your love on for people. Love really is the ultimate mystical truth, isn't it?
And it's the highest level of frequency in the heavens. But, you know, it wasn't always that way, Justin. I could be just as judgmental and religious as the next person until the Lord began to teach me about the restoration of all things. And when he did that, he actually put me into situations where I was surrounded by people that were evil and vile and wicked. And I knew the things that they were involved in. And yet he showed me that his love is ever, ever faithful. I was invited one time to the president's prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., which became an annual event for me. But we had Mother Teresa was the main speaker at this event this year. And she's so teeny tiny. They had to put her up on a chair so she could even see over the speaker's podium because she was so little. Anyway, she starts out by saying, "I'm so thankful and I'm so blessed for the opportunity and the privilege of speaking at this auspicious meeting. But if you really want to bless me," she lifted her finger and she pointed out straight to Hillary Clinton and says, "Stop killing your children." And the whole room went like totally.
Oh my God.
And all of this was televised on national television. And of course, all of my friends were the leaders of the Republican National Convention. And we were all sitting at this great big huge table together. And everybody burst into laughter because here's Hillary Clinton and she says, "And you, young lady, you told me you were going to build a home for all of the women who didn't want abortions but didn't have any other alternative. And exactly where is that home today?" And she's just laying Hillary out, and of course, we're just all dying laughing. All of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart. And he said, "I love Hillary Clinton." And I said, "Lord, do you know the kind of thing she's done?" And he said it three times, "I love Hillary Clinton." And I had to actually excuse myself from the table and walk out into the hallway weeping because I thought his love is so without limits. His love is never ending, and his steadfast mercy endures forever, that he even loves the people. That's why in your topic on cardionosis, you said we have to stop listening to gossip. We have to stop listening to the reports on the internet, and we have to tap into God's heart for all people.
Yeah.
And once that happened, during the course of my preparation for the restoration of all things, he took me into so many situations where I was dealing with people that were in deep, dark, diabolical, ugly depths of sinfulness, and showed me that his heart for them was for their benefit and for their good. And so, you know, I have so many testimonies that I could give.
How do we, because I know some people struggling with that because they know, you know, what the Clintons have done and these evil people. How do we see them like you're saying there? You know, how do we get that heart? Because it's really easy in this generation to be a hater, isn't it? It's like the whole internet's designed around hate and controversy and us and them. And also, we're also seeing all the evil that is going on. Like, you know, if you look at, like, I don't know if you've got an answer for this, Nancy, you might not. When you look at, like, the Hamas situation.
Yes.
And how they raped people and did that. How do we see, obviously, there's going to be a restoration at some point of people's hearts. Is that how the Lord is able to love people? Because he sees what we'll ultimately become. A bit like you see beyond time. Because when you see people in time, it talks about he makes all things beautiful in its time. And sometimes things are not beautiful, are they, until there's a moment, of change.
For me, the answer to that comes in the development of radical intimacy with him, to actually sit in his heart and absorb that measure of love. My grandson, one time I sent him to New Zealand to work with Benji Alexander, and they were in a state of preparation there to go into Thailand to begin to minister to the girls that were in the sex trade. And one of the things that they had to do was they had to watch videos off of the black web or the dark web. And in these videos, they actually showed the arms and legs of young girls being severed from their bodies so that they could not do anything but just lay in the bed and be ready. And he called me one day in tears and he said, "Nina, how is it even conceivably possible to love somebody that would mutilate a young girl in that way?" And I said, "Well, honey, I'll tell you a secret. The sex trade has to do with demand. And I said, if you liberate 1,000 people from the sex trade tomorrow, there'll be 2,000 more in their place the day after that, because it has to do with supply and demand. If you want to affect the sex industry, what you must affect is the heart of the sex deviant." I said, when you can capture the heart of the person that's selling them into the sex trade, all of that will shift and change. And so I told him the story about one time I led one of the major Mexican cartel drug dealers to the Lord. And he went out and the next day burned up $50 million worth of drugs in his trash burner in the backyard. And we obviously, the cartel wasn't excited about that. So we were standing out in his driveway and two guys came up with sawed off shotguns and they put one in both of our heads. And this guy looks at me and he goes, "I'm here to kill you." And I said, well, I laughed and I said, "You can't kill me. I'm already dead." And he said, "What?" And I said, "I'm already dead." So he drew back the hammer and pulled the trigger and the thing locked. And he did that three times in a row and it locked again. And it scared him so bad, he ended up giving his life to the Lord. And he and the drug dealer are going all over Mexico today preaching the gospel. So the issue is, if we can only see God's plan for that person and activate them in that plan, it can change everything. Because the only frequency that is high enough to change that level of vile wickedness is the frequency of love. And to understand the frequency of love, we have to experience it, not just to say Jesus loves me, but to actually become the expression of that of love, broken, hurting, wounded world.
Powerful. And as we become love, if you take the cardiogenesis teaching, it starts a new field of energy that spreads, becomes a new way of thinking, a new way of being. And that consciousness is spreading. I think that's what we have to focus on in this time. Rich and I went to a show this week with the kids, and it was a show with these drones that fly. You know, these, they all synchronize, and it was the story of the evolution of the universe, and it was amazing. But Nancy ended with them saying that we are one, didn't it, Rach?
Yeah.
Becoming conscious, cosmic
that
conscious.
That was their last words.
And they said, when we will realize. And it showed the planet then. It showed the blue and green world. We're using these drones that fly in the night sky. It looked amazing. Yes. And so we will realize that we are one. And, you know, that's one thing that's challenged me from hearing you preach over all these years, Nancy, is that you've seen it. You've seen the restoration of all things. And that's why you won't be persuaded out of it, because you've already seen the future and you've already participated in the future of the restoration of all things.
Well, you know, it is a It is a message that sets up a whole variety of conflicts, but many, many people have tried to use the scripture to convince me that it's inaccurate. And I said, look, I actually was taken by the Lord into the future, and I co-participated with him in the restoration of all things. So I said, the problem is we read the Bible to prove that what we believe is really accurate, rather than reading it to find out all the things we don't know, because infinitely more that we don't know than what we know. And so one of the teachings, because when I was in atheism, I was excellent at debating the dichotomies of the Bible, of the scripture, where it would say one thing in one place and apparently the total opposite in another place. And actually, they're all the meaning, when you understand the depth of the meaning of them, they're all saying the same thing. But to the human mind, the wisdom of God doesn't make any sense at all. So if we're limited to the doctrine of eternal damnation, and if we're limited to separation being the heartbeat of God, then that's all we're going to see. But when we step into the limitlessness of the spirit realm, and we step into the limitlessness of his love, all of that becomes inconsequential. So it doesn't bother me that people don't understand. They're just at a place where they have not yet consumed and eaten and drunk of the goodness of God and the unending limitlessness of his love.
Yeah.
His love changes everything. In fact, talking about a movie, I just want to give a thumbs up to a new movie that just came out called Cabrini. And Cabrini was something that was put out by Angel Studios. And I actually have been to see it three times already, because it's about a woman who changed the entire earth by nothing more than the love of God. And she became canonized as the first American saint because she set up orphanages and hospitals and things all over the world that were run by women simply because she was told she could never do what she did. And because she was consistent in just imparting love wherever she went, it really changed the years.
Wow.
So very good movie. It's called Cabrini. And I just want to recommend everybody go to see it. I paid for my whole family to go see it because it's so awesome what one woman could do to change the world.
Wow. I'm getting wrecked. I've got to be honest with you. You're hitting my heart. If you keep talking, I'm going to be a mess. I am. How do we learn to love like you love, Nancy? I always say to Rach, don't I, honey? I want to learn to love people more, and I have grown a lot. But what I see in you is it's an overflow of love, and I've seen the way you treat people. I remember one time we were on a trip together, and it was in between sessions, and we were in this room, and you were showing interest in people. You were interested, and it didn't matter who they were. You saw them. You had time for them. And I could see you meant it, you know, and it was real. And you don't talk badly about people, and it's so easy to fall into the trap, isn't it, with all the scandals that are going on right now. To speak negatively about people. Did you make a choice saying, I'll never speak negatively? Was it like a vow you made, or was it just a thing that happened in you? And because I would love to see our culture change to a culture of love, because I think, you know, love transforms you. Criticism does, you know?
Actually, I think that for me, the secret to that is threefold. Number one, learn to ascend and sit in the heavens and learn to live from there as you're walking on the earth. The second thing would be release the frequency that is inside of you. What the Lord is doing at the present moment is he's going deep, deep, deep into the depths of the interior of our being. And he's putting down what looks to me like an oil derrick. And he's actually breaking up the fountains of the deep, because inside of us, we have wells, fountains, waterfalls, rivers of living water that he wants to bring out, giftings and talents and creativity that we haven't even tapped into yet are now being released in the earth. And a lot of that comes through the release of the frequency inside of us. So one of my primary life's message is all creation is groaning. Groaning for what? The manifestation of the sons of the living God. The indictment against the church is you can go to Buddhism and find a manifestation. You can go to witchcraft and find a manifestation. You can go to New Age and find a manifestation. The manifestation of the sons of God is really love. So the word says, not only is all creation groaning, we ourselves are groaning within ourselves for what? Redemption of the body. So by releasing the frequencies that are inside of us, we can actually heal our own body. Our bodies were configured by God to heal naturally. Because once we get rid of all of the anger and the hatred and the envy and the strife and the jealousy and all the things that cause bad health in the first place, we can actually heal our own body through frequency. The other thing, and you mentioned this when you went to the movies, is it showed the earth. Right now, the earth, the universe, all things are beginning to respond to the groaning coming out of the sons of the living God. In June 23rd of 2023, there was a humming that was set up in the universe. And this humming is in response to the frequency that is now coming out of the earth. All of the scientists, the astrologers, the astronomers were trying to figure out, where is this humming coming from? And even enemies in the field of science are coming together to try and figure out, what is the source of this humming? The Russians, the Chinese, the Americans, the Japanese, they're all coming together to share information, trying to figure out the source of this humming. I'm saying they're just responding to the humming coming out of the sons of the living God as our levels of consciousness are being lifted up. There are also, you can go to the internet and look it up anywhere. There are reports of humming coming from underneath the earth. And this humming is becoming so common now that people everywhere are wanting to know, where is this humming coming from? It's because all nature, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, the universe says, because there's more than one universe, underneath the earth, over the earth, in the sky, in the sea, all creation is now beginning to respond to the frequency and the elevation of the frequency that is bringing up the conscious understanding of people all over the world, not just in the four walls of the church, all over the world. The consciousness is being elevated for people to understand their need for Yahweh, for Yeshua. For Ruach HaKodesh. They're tapping into it in all different realms, but it's happening everywhere. All creation, animals are responding. Animals respond to me wherever I go. I was living in the middle of the national forest, and we would have 15 to 30 deer that would come every single day and eat right out of my hands. At one time I had Jan
I'd come and eat out of your hands, Nancy. Not so much love. you could feed me a few nuts.
I would have guests at my home that come with me out into the front yard. At one time we would have a 12 point bucks, 10 point bucks, 8 point bucks, all in my yard at the same time during rut, when they should be locking horns, and they would just eat gently out of my hands. And the second they would step off my property across the road, they would lock horns. The reason is because animals and fish, they can see things that we cannot see, and they can see the electromagnetic force and field that is around us. Therefore, they can respond to the measure of love that is coming out of our pores. Because like you said, it causes light to come out right out of our pores. The fish in the sea, the fish in the aquarium, they'll all come to the brightness of our shining. And it's because that they're empowered by God to see what other human eyes can't see.
Come on. I must be attractive to midges, because wherever I go somewhere, they track me down, Nancy, the old midges. They get me. They bite me if I'm in Africa. So, Nancy, I'm loving this conversation, and I'm feeling really touched. And so, Father, before we just open up to a few questions, we just want to say, Lord, we want to walk in love, and we receive fully what Nancy's saying. I feel it. Lord, we want to grow in love. We want to be known for love.
Yes.
We want to become love. We want our legacy to be love. And that's what Bob Jones said, wasn't it? When he died, the Lord just asked one question. Did you learn to love?
Yeah.
And I think as Christians, we've been quite bad at learning to love. We've been very critical, factional, infighting, fighting over doctrine. Mm-hmm. When love is what remains, faith, hope, and love.
Mm-hmm.
Greatest of these is love. So, Papa, we pray now for a realm of love that we enter in with you, Nancy. Guys on the call, let's all sit in the same realm as Nancy today. Sit in the realm of love where we see it, the scandal of the cross.
Thank you. That
he swallowed humanity into himself, and that he loves us with a love that's beyond words. And Lord, we sit in that realm of love right now.
Mm.
We love our enemies. We release a frequency of love into the morphogenic field of the planet. Whatever your town is right now, wherever you are, speak over it that you are loved.
Mm.
We live in Pontypridd. Pontypridd, you are loved.
Yes.
Wales,
mm.
you are loved.
Mm.
Speak out the name of your town now. Just say, you are loved.
You
are loved.
You are loved.
Ah, you just feel it, can't you? Hey, it's powerful, stronger than the grave. And I think this is how we're going to see more dead raisings, is that when we really love, love is stronger than death, Scripture says. And I believe we're coming to a time of great resurrections.
Sure.
Okay, Nancy, we've got 45 minutes left. Are you good to answer a few questions?
I'm good, whatever.
Great.
I'm here to serve you. And your Patreon group, by the way, you guys are so smart to be part of this Patreon group, because you're getting good, good stuff. That's what I get.
We've got 611 people on the call. Thank you, everybody that's joined us. Thank you, everybody that's a part of our Patreon family. We love you. Josh, are we able to put up slides, or won't it work now because we're on Zoom? So Josh, put up the first slide. I can't see it. It's so small on my screen. Hello, Justin. I have a question for your time with Nancy. Could you explain the living lightnings? What is their mandate, their assignment? I heard you mention them in your podcast, and then Nancy and I think Fiorella also calling them forth. So Nancy, you had a very powerful experience with the lightnings. I saw you in Dallas, and you'd just been at a conference where the whole place had gone electric. So maybe you could talk about that for us.
Actually, it was at a conference in New Zealand, and I was with Leon and Rowan Kelly. And in the very opening session, the Lord showed me a vision of me throwing lightning into the crowd. And I went to Shannon. I said, Shannon, I don't even know how to do this. I don't even know how to start this. Even though I had had occasional glimpses of the power of the living lightnings, I didn't know how to affect and impact a whole conference that way. She said, well, just do whatever the Lord says to do. So I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And all of a sudden, the worship team hit a frequency that does something in me called internal combustion. And what that does is fuels up my body, and my body begins to heat up in a dynamic way. And all of a sudden, I started throwing my arm out. And I mean, people everywhere, 80-year-old women were thrown 18 feet backwards and hit the floor. And the head of the conference, he was jerking so bad under the power of lightning that I didn't even preach. The whole time that was given to me, we just basked in the lightnings of God, just striking people everywhere. And it was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. But, you know, the Lord never asks us to do something unless he provides the way for us to complete that. But I didn't know. I didn't know. How do you throw lightning at people? I was doing a conference. In fact, Justin, you were here. I think you were in this conference in Dallas when the spirit of Suriel, who is lightning, actually filled me. And I threw my arm out, and not even understanding the power of the lightning, I turned to Grant Mahoney and I said, "The spirit of the Lord says," and when I snapped my wrist, he jumped up out of his chair, hit the floor like a thud. No catcher. Now, one of the things I know about Grant is he's not subject to courtesy falls. When that guy hit the floor, the whole place started to shake. And he was down, I think, for 3 or 4 hours before he could really recover himself. And I didn't understand that Suriel, who was the angel of lightning, actually hit him. And I remember that night we went up after the conference was over, and you were there. I do remember you were there. So it was you and me and Grant and Sam, and I invited you all to come to my room for communion before you got on the road to leave. And during the course of that time, we had Elijah showed up in a fiery chariot in my room, all this going on. But after you guys left, I thought to myself, wow, it's been 3 days since I talked to my husband. Or I always am very faithful about sending him a text or a video or something every single day while I'm on the road. But this conference was very intense. And so I thought, well, I think I'm going to send him an email right now and tell him what's going on. So the first thing I did, I touched my phone. I'm going to call him on the phone. And when I touched my phone, the lightning came out and went, and my phone went dead. And then I thought, well, I'll just call him on the hotel phone. So I go to the hotel phone and I push 9 to get out, and it goes, and the whole thing goes dead. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'll just get on my computer and I'll just write him a text. I touch my computer, out comes this lightning again. And my computer goes dead. And I still haven't considered the power of the lightning. So I had been 3 days at that time without eating anything, and you guys had already left. And I thought, well, I guess I'll just go fix myself a cup of soup. So I go to my bag, I get out a cup of soup, and I put this water in the microwave, and I punch the microwave, and it starts arcing and arcing and arcing, and it exploded into fire. I had to go down and get somebody to take care of the fire in my room. And finally, I turned around and I looked up at the ceiling and I said, "Lord, I'm not so sure. I like this one called Suriel. He could be very expensive, you know." but the issue is that those kinds of things are not just peculiar to me. We're actually going to be activated internally because we have lightning inside of us that the Lord is wanting to release to co-create and to co-work together with him for the establishment of his kingdom and his righteousness in all the earth. So this is going to become a thing that we can tap into, the living lightnings from the heavens, from the realms of heaven. Amen. And I do want to say this, just as in final answer to that, is in our ascending and descending, God is still speaking to us in parabolic pictures. When we ascend into the higher levels of heaven, all of a sudden the pictures disappear. And what happens is electromagnetic power, the likes of which we've never seen. The thunderings and the lightnings and the just the magnificence of his power, it goes above and beyond pictures. So he is that lightning. He is that thundering. And we have it all inside of us because he lives inside of us. Amen.
I love it. I remember when you fried the phone there and everything. Amazing. Another thing that happened, and you may not remember this, but when you were praying over Grant, you were speaking over him, there was an electric clock at the back of the room. It was a big digital red clock. It froze. Oh. For the whole time you spoke over him, you spoke over him for about 20 minutes. And then when you stopped, I was standing because I moved up to watch it, to see you. And I saw the clock restart. So even the clock somehow froze for like 20 minutes. So it was a very powerful moment. I love it. I love it. Matthew Lake said about the lightnings of God, he said they're going to come to a whole generation. And it's interesting, in his prophecy, he said, I see the lightnings of God coming through a whole generation in tenderness and in love. He saw it was combined with love. The very lightnings of God, he said, would go through people's bodies, but in tenderness and love. And he said it would be a new manifestation of the Spirit on a generation. So beautiful. Okay, Josh, hit us with the next question, if we can move on. Can we make that big? I can't see that. Okay, this is about wisdom. I've been following your meditations for 2 years. I'm still not seeing or hearing the spirit of wisdom. What is it I'm missing and what can I do? I guess that's more of a question to me. I don't know, Nancy. This person's trying
to... go ahead. Take that one.
Well, I was with Wisdom before this call and talking to Wisdom, and she said to me, keep persevering. She is with you. She is present. And there's a verse in Proverbs where it says, do not give up. And that's what Wisdom showed me, is that you are receiving wisdom. You may not be aware of it, but if you keep going, you will become aware. It's a practice of discipline in your mind to be present with wisdom, sitting in wisdom. I often read Proverbs and the Book of Wisdom from the New Jerusalem Bible, and I enfold in wisdom, I entangle in wisdom. So just do more of that, enfolding, entangling. But what I did hear from her is don't give up. Perseverance produces character, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint. So just keep going, because even the practice of meditating is transforming you. So well done. You are very loved. You are not failing. You are doing well. So just know that you are loved by Wisdom. She really loves you. And thank you, Lord, for Wisdom. I love Wisdom so much. I was with her earlier before this call, engaging her for this call, because we need wisdom for this generation. And Nancy, have you had many experiences with the spirit of wisdom?
Before I even knew who she was, I was actually with the president, an Islamic president, and he, through a prophetic word, he gave his life to the Lord, and he demanded that the next day his whole cabinet come and listen to this crazy American woman. So they came into the room, and they were all Islamic, and they were very angry because they had to cancel all their appointments because the president demanded their presence in this meeting. And so anyway, I could tell by the way they were gritting their teeth, they weren't happy about having to be here. And so the first question out of the finance director was, do you know anybody at the World Bank? Can you get us a loan? We need to build a dam so that our people can have electrical energy. And I looked at him and I said, well, I do know people at the World Bank, and I probably could get you a loan, but why do you want to get a loan that you'll never be able to pay back, because your country will only be able to ever pay the interest, when you could do the whole thing without a bank loan at all? And he said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, what was the very first thing that you learned in your very first finance class at Harvard? Because he was a graduate of Harvard. And he sat there a minute. And he said, well, I don't know. So my spirit got up and went and sat down in his class at Harvard. And the very first thing that the guy learned was no risk, no reward. Low risk, low reward. High risk, high reward. So I said, there's no need for you to get a loan from the bank. What country do you know that has ever become a great country without the great personal risks of their leaders? And I said, on top of that, there is a way that you can produce electricity for your people without having to build a $500 million dam. And he said, what do you mean? And I said, look out that window right there. There's a mountain there. And at the top of that mountain, there's a huge lake, isn't there? And he goes, well, yes, there is. And I said, do you know if you run a drip line down from that lake that you can produce electricity for 500-mile radius around here? Now, my soul is sitting here listening to me talk about this, and I thought, where in heaven's name is all of this information coming from? I don't know any of this. I don't know the mathematics. I don't know about the economics. I don't know about building a drip line. Who the heck ever heard of a drip line? So basically what was happening was the spirit of wisdom was speaking out of me things above and beyond my level of understanding. Today, they have a drip line, and it is producing utilities for 500 miles around there. Anyway, it also broke down the resistance of the people in the cabinet. And by the time I left there, they were literally chasing me down the hallway. What about this? What about this? What can we do about this? Because the spirit of wisdom just took over, and the stuff that I had no knowledge of. And at that time, I didn't even know the spirit of wisdom was a living being. I didn't have any of that understanding at all. So it wasn't until after my encounter with the spirit of wisdom that I thought, oh, that's what happened. And that's why all those things took place, that I could speak to things that I had no knowledge about that were above and beyond my education.
Yeah.
Excuse me, because the spirit of wisdom just intercepted and just took over.
Come on. I love your stories, Nancy. They're amazing. I've traveled with you a lot, and you always bring up stories that are new and amazing. And when we're on our own together, I'm always blown away. But I feel like the spirit of wisdom is probably one of the most important things we have to engage with right now. Entangling with wisdom, you know, for finances, because there's so much wealth in the world and there's so many people that don't have wealth, but wisdom, it says, brings wealth. She also brings immortality, longevity, life. She brings honor. She brings favor with the Lord. And she's a spirit, it says in scriptures, that is friendly towards humanity. She wants to work with us, and she shouts and calls for us, but we don't have to entangle with her. It's optional. But I think there's a generation rising now that are super intelligent. And I had a dream about this the other day, Nancy. I went into this big meeting with loads of people there, and wisdom was teaching out the front in the dream. And I went in all whacked and thought it was going to be a glory meeting. And they all smiled and they were kind to me. But the Lord showed me it wasn't about getting whacked. It was about becoming intelligent. And all these people in this meeting were leaning forward, listening to wisdom. And the Lord showed me in a series of dreams that night that we're looking for a wave over here. He showed me surfers then, and these surfers were waiting for a wave, and that's the glory wave. They want the glory move. They want revival. They want this. But over the other side where these waves were breaking, and the Lord said, move to where the waves are breaking in the dream. He said, where the waves are breaking is on wisdom. It's on intelligence. It's on knowledge. And it's like people are wanting this, like, just glory splash around, which is good, but God wants to marry it with wisdom, with understanding, with intelligence, with spiritual and knowledge and intelligence. And there's such an ability in wisdom to make wealth. You know, I was watching some videos just last night on how Bitcoin was worth $13 like in 2013, and now it's worth $60,000 for one coin. You know, if you'd invested $13 in Bitcoin back in 2013, it'd be worth $60,000. Do you know what I mean? If you'd invested $1,000, you'd have how much money? Or $2,000? And what I was shown was that wisdom wants to show us how to ride the waves of the future. She wants to show us how to make wealth. She wants to show us how to how to flow in understanding. So yeah, maybe before we go on to the next question, I know we've got half an hour left. Let's just pause for a minute, engage wisdom, and just breathe again, everybody, because I think we'll all recognize right now the beauty of wisdom. I mean, how powerful would it have been to invest $13 and made $60,000? And wisdom can show us how to invest, how to use time wisely, redeem time, how to have favor, how to speak to presidents and kings and come up with technology solutions, architecture, landscaping, designing. So wisdom, as an ecclesia tonight, we honor you and we enfold and entangle into you. And we say to you, I need you. So guys, I want to encourage you right now on the call, just say to wisdom, I need you. I want you. You are welcome in my life.
You're welcome in my life.
Fill me and envelop me with your presence.
Fill me and envelop me with your presence.
There you go. Just sense wisdom now. That she is deeply, deeply friendly to you. And she will give you knowledge if you just trust her to do things that you've never even dreamed of, never even thought of, that solutions are already in you for your life and for your friends and family and for the nations, for the cosmos, for the heavens. Wisdom, remain on me. I ask you to rest on me permanently. Thank you, wisdom. We love you. Ah. Now, maybe there's an area where you need wisdom right now. Just reach into wisdom for that knowledge. Wisdom, help us in the area of finance. Help us in the area of health, relationships, governing a nation, creating new timelines. Wisdom, we love you. Help us. Help us. Oh.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you.
Have you got anything you want to pray about there, Nancy, for the people listening?
Well, Father, we just thank you and praise you for each and every person that's on this call today. We thank you that the seed of your word has landed on good ground, and we decree and declare, mandate and legislate that that seed that has fallen on good ground will bear fruit, and fruit that will last for all eternity. For it's your word, and your word is sure, your word is true, your word is perfect. And therefore, Lord, we say, let it be unto us all according to your word. For it's in Yeshua's holy, strong, and magnificent, mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Wisdom. Just dispatch the spirit of wisdom to lead us and guide us into paths of righteousness. Thank you, Lord.
Okay. I'm getting pretty strongly in this, so I'm going to pull out a bit, just keep going. Are you good to answer a few more questions, Nancy? I know you've been holding your phone a long time.
I have. It's okay. I'm doing good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.
Is that a good place to stop it, or do you want to keep going for a bit longer?
No. Oh, let's just
another 20 minutes, is it?
I see a lot of the questions that are coming across here have to do with people feeling tingling sensations. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say what that is something I call the bubble up. And the tingling is really small electrical charges that are beginning to go off in your body. And ultimately, the more that you sit in that bubble up and the more that you be still and know that he is God, the greater the power of those electromagnetic charges becomes, until finally it actually erupts into fire. I heard Justin one time talking about how many of the old saints could actually erupt into fire. And there is something inside of us called internal combustion. And internal combustion, what you're feeling right now is the beginning of that. When that internal combustion begins, it actually changes and rearranges the limitations that are inside of you that are imposed upon you by your human DNA. And it releases you into the limitlessness of your spiritual DNA. And for me, what that does is it increases my level of frequency to the point where I can actually go into levitation. And that levitation is produced by those electromagnetic charges that start internal combustion. So if you're feeling those electrical charges in your hand or your body, several of you are talking about internal combustion beginning in you right now, I would just say sit in that. Just be still and let it continue to increase, because it will bring you into very high levels of functionability. So just continue with that and just enjoy it. It's God's touching every part of your cellular memory, everything. He's reactivating things inside of you that have been dormant for a long time. Okay.
Beautiful. And that's been one of the secrets for you, isn't it? Sitting in the bubble up. And
yeah.
That small tingling people are feeling is the beginning of a massive realm if they honor it.
If you honor it,
it grows. And for you, that's allowed you to go without food and sleep on multiple occasions. And recharged your body.
It does. It recharges and re-energizes your body. I just call it the bubble up energy. And it's the love energy. It also increases your capacity for love and your capacity to receive higher levels of function. So when you feel those little electrical charges, just say, thank you, Lord. I'll take all I can get and I'll take more. Just let the more hit you and see what happens.
Let's do one more question then I'm going to give you a break from holding your phone. So, Josh, what was the next question? Let's see what pops up. This was more of a question of inner healing. Someone said that they felt, I'm looking forward. Yeah. I'm wondering if she has any steering for someone who's in need of physical healing. This is something we're really starting to break into, isn't it? With the healing pods. I've been involved in lots of healing pods that you've inspired, and we're starting to pray for healing more, because I think one of the things that there hasn't been a lot of prayer for healing in the mystical move historically. But you triggered something when you prayed for Debbie, your granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you could tell them a little bit about what happened there, because I think there's a principle being released right now for energetic healing over people. Mm-hmm. And it's a domain that's opening up.
I think one of the reasons why we've seen a little bit of relaxation in healing by laying on of hands is the Lord is wanting to take us into higher levels of understanding of internal healing. So in Hebrews chapter 6, it says it like this: I would not, brethren, that you would continue to lay again the foundation of the first principles of Christ Jesus. Repentance from dead works, the baptisms, laying on of hands, which is the first principle, resurrection from the dead, faith towards God, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. Rather, put these things aside now and come up to perfection. So what the Lord is wanting to do is he's wanting to take us above and beyond the limitation of the laying on of hands. And the laying on of hands is a valid ministry. We're actually imparting light and taking out of the faith level into the substance level a healing. But typically speaking, in the age of the church, it was 10% effective. What the Lord is wanting us to do now is to learn how to adjust the defective genomes inside of us that cause our sickness, many of which come through a very various different avenues, until we can get to the point of bringing people to the place of being perfect, whole, complete, entire and lacking nothing. So that is an elevation. What the Lord is doing is he's elevating right now our spiritual awareness of how to produce perfect healing and perfection in the lives of people. So that goes above and beyond laying on of hands. And I'm not minimizing the value of that. I've done it for years and I've seen the effect of it. But I am saying there's so much more he wants to do. So if we'll leave behind the first principles and come into an understanding of how our quantum entanglement can produce healing from generational sicknesses that are 3,000 years old. My granddaughter, Deborah, had a very severe illness that would actually have produced her death if we had not intervened with a quantum entanglement. And Justin was a part of that. Basically, he brought seven of us into perfect union, unity of spirit, singleness of mind, oneness of purpose. And it took a 7-day period of every part of her body being completely stretched to the max. But in the end, she was completely healed of something that the doctors told her she was going to die of within 2 to 3 weeks. And it was a 3,000-year-old generational illness that was in our family line. So when the Lord says he's giving us power now to go and undo the desolation of generations, because it was in our generational family DNA, we completely undid that. And what that has produced is she's perfect and whole, complete, entire, lacking nothing, and is today doing things that she couldn't even possibly think about doing before this happened. So when we come into a full understanding and activation of the quantum entanglement, which we're already walking in, we just have to activate it. When we come into that quantum entanglement, perfect healing will be a continuous ongoing thing. Mm. And sickness will become a thing of the past, because we will have learned how to extract from our DNA molecules the genomes that produce that sickness in the first place. So our DNA will no longer even contain the possibility of getting flu or getting Alzheimer's or getting muscular dystrophy. We can actually extract those things from our DNA. So those are things that the Lord is bringing us into, futuristically speaking, so that we can become what the word says: perfect, whole, complete, entire, lacking nothing. That's where we're headed. And in order to do that, we have to set behind the first principles and come up to perfection. That's living the ascended life. So I just want to encourage everybody on this call. Ascending and descending is practice. It's still an activity, but it will become our nature. In other words, we're going to learn how to live in the heavens and walk on the earth. And when that happens, all of these problems will completely disappear.
Yeah.
And
Debbie had a very awful condition, didn't she, where the ligaments were dissolving, her brain was moving, her spine and her joints were popping. She
yeah.
probably 6 months to live. And she
not yet. They had already sent her home expecting her to die within 2 weeks.
She needed a cast created to keep her body. If she showered, her arms would come out of the sockets. And what I love about you, Nancy, you were so determined. You contacted me and these others a number of times. And you said, she's not going to die. We are going to take this in the spirit. And it's one of the most unusual things I've been involved in, because we were all in different countries. We were all spread around the world. We got on Zoom together, but we all saw the same things. We saw the altar that she was on. We saw the genetics that she'd had, the trading platform. We even went to like the place where the eternity realm was coming in. And I can't remember how long we were on the call for. Maybe it was an hour or two. But she started vibrating from that time onwards, didn't she? And for the next days, she was vibrating and vibrating. And all this fluid came out of her. All of her old liquid came out, which was gross.
All of her brain fluid, all of her spinal fluid actually evacuated through her nose and her mouth. And my daughter had gallon bags full of this fluid. So what the Lord did was he actually replaced it. And during the course of that time that she was emitting all of this fluid, my daughter videoed it and sent it to her doctor. And the doctor said, get her to the hospital immediately. Her brain fluid and her spinal fluid are coming out. And if you don't get her there, she'll be dead by tonight. And so my daughter, God bless her heart, is stuck between having to decide to continue with the quantum entanglement with the risk that the doctor said, if she doesn't get there tonight, she'll be dead by midnight tonight. And the Lord told me, if she had stopped the quantum entanglement and taken my granddaughter to the hospital, she would have died that night.
Yeah.
So the issue is, because she had seen the miracles taking place, this girl couldn't even brush her teeth. She couldn't comb her own hair. She had to hold her organs in her body as she was going to the bathroom because all of the connective tissue in her body had completely deteriorated. If she would even turn her head to the side, all of her ribs would come out of joint. If you just tapped her on the shoulder, her shoulders would come out of joint. She had 6 prosthetics that she had to wear on her arms, on her legs, on her core, in her abdomen to keep all of her body together because her entire skeleton was literally falling apart in her body. So the issue is, when we understand quantum entanglement and we begin to activate those principles, bringing ourselves into unity of spirit, into singleness of mind, into oneness of purpose, we're going to find nothing yeah. is impossible in him. And, you know, I have many, many stories since then of people that have literally been turned over to hospice.
Mm-hmm.
To die within a period of weeks. And today they're perfectly healed. And the reason goes above and beyond laying on of hands. We had people from 5 different continents in that quantum entanglement for Deborah. We couldn't even lay hands on her. They couldn't even see her. They let alone lay hands on her. And yet what she received was eternally fruitful because of quantum entanglement. We are all quantumly entangled already, whether we know it or not. We're connected to everything that has ever been created in one way or another. If we can begin to activate those principles, we can produce the coming back into our primordial nature, which is being made as creatures of light. So that's my end.
And now Debbie's married, she's back in work, and it's a miracle. She's absolutely fine. She's dancing, she's doing sports, and the doctor's during the
7-day period, my daughter, who had to give up her job to stay home and take care of her because she couldn't even hold a glass of water without her wrist coming out of joint. And during the course of that 7-day period, she was doing back bends, handstand, standing on her arms, which would have just fallen out of the socket if you just barely touched them like a feather. She was doing ballet kicks, kicking her legs up over the top of her head, which would have been completely impossible before the quantum entanglement. So what the Lord was doing was totally realigning her entire body to bring it in to do supernatural things,
yeah.
which are the same kinds of things that I did for years as I would go into the sound. My body would stretch in humanly impossible ways. And those very kinds of things were happening in her as she received her healing. So what happened, and I'll close with this. Her final healing was completed on 2/22/22. She was 22, and the final thing happened at 2:22 on the clock. So the Lord said, he's now opening the door called 222, wow. which is the door to the love frequency of the heartbeat of the Father. So that is now being made accessible and available to us all. Therefore, we can sit in the frequency of his heartbeat. Amen.
Amazing. I love it. I feel it. Guys, we're landing it there. Let's just feel the frequency of that testimony and engage wisdom for your own miracle. Maybe some of you will want to form healing pods. My friend Rebecca Milne in Australia has been doing them. I've been on some of the calls and really incredible things are happening. So just remember, you are powerful. You can choose a timeline of health, a timeline of healing, and sense the emotions of that timeline. Feel the timeline of abundance. Feel the timeline of expansion. Thank you, Lord, for the age of wonders. It has begun. The age of wonders, the age of life, and life in abundance. Thank you, Papa. It's powerful. Just connect with that energy now, guys, and just receive it. We entangle into one another, and together we agree for wholeness and healing across this Patreon community and the families that we represent. Healing of our children, our homes, marriages, finances, that all shall be well. That all shall be well. Thank you, Papa. Beautiful. Thank you, Nancy, for making time to be on the call and especially holding your phone for like 2 hours. Let's get the gallery viewer.